Te Wikiho Oratane. It's Men's Health Week. And the longest journey begins with a single step, as they say. And men are being asked to start taking their own small steps towards health that can turn their lives around. One of the week's ambassadors is motor racing great Greg Murphy, who's making a comeback this year at Bathurst with Richie Stanaway, another brilliant driver who's had his setbacks in recent times. Greg won Bathurst four times. Here's a moment from that third time back in 2003, not from the race itself, but the qualifying lap that set a speed record not broken for years afterwards. It won him pole position. They still call it the lap of the gods. It's regarded as one of the great moments in the history of supercars.
He holds it together through the chase. And Greg Murphy, listen to the crowd roar. The Holden supporters love it. He has released the shackles on car 51 and he is going straight to pole position for the Bob Jane T-Marts 1000. Murphy, a blistering lap.
Holy smokes.
That's record breaker.
That is insane.
They were very excited. We'll ask about the return to racing, but first, men's health. Greg Murphy, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Men are really bad patients, Greg, still, after all these years, do you think?
Yes, we are. I don't know, it's just a culture thing, isn't it? That we are the way we are. Women do a much better job of looking after themselves, and maybe that's because, you know, there was more of a focus for a longer period of time around women's health and the likes. But, you know, the statistics around men doing the right thing and getting checked up, you know, we've got this thing about it being we're too staunch to see a doctor, you know, or it's just not what we do, it's not tough enough or whatever. I mean, there's just so many reasons, but, you know, the statistics speak for themselves, don't they, when it comes to, you know, what's happening to men out there in comparison to our woman folk.
Yeah, every year 365 New Zealanders die from melanomas, one a day, 60% of them men. That's the kind of evidence that just stacks up, isn't it?
And it's the preventable stuff like that, you know, you're getting yourselves checked on a regular basis. You know, that there's so many scenarios or cases where death is preventable because of the types of melanomas, the prostate side of things as well, which, you know, we're just not getting checked. We're not checking our PSA levels, you know, the diabetes side of things, the cholesterol, heart disease. A lot of these things can be, you know, diagnosed, and we can do so many things these days to prevent, you know, some of this loss, which is just unnecessary. We just can't reiterate it enough, you know, how men should be getting a relationship form with their doctor and going and get these checks done. And I know I'm very fortunate because I probably would fall into that category too. And over so many years now, 20-something, maybe more years, I've been required to get a medical to have my driver's, my racing license and also my aviation license, yeah. You know. And the checks that I get through that are, you know, are really, really important, and it's become routine. And we've got to get into that routine. We've got to find the time to make sure that we're, you know, doing really simple things and just getting over some of this way we think, this culture that is potentially, you know, killing us.
We should all think of ourselves as if we flew helicopters like you do.
Well, yeah, that would be good. I mean, every year you put it in your calendar and you just go and do it regardless of what you feel, because there's a lot of hidden killers there that are festering away, and you might feel fine, but by the time it actually shows up, it's too late. And I know two people, you know, I've been close with them over the years in our motorsport fraternity in Australia who've recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and fortunately, you know, they've managed to get on top of that early enough that, you know, recovery should be full. But it is an absolute stark reminder of the fact that it can happen to everyone, anyone, at any time.
It does sound like a generalisation in this day and age, categorising men as still careless about their health, but we obviously still are, because the stats don't lie. That's the thing. There's the longevity stats, the suicide stats, the motor vehicle stats. They're all there.
Yeah. I mean, men are 20% more likely than women to die prematurely from heart disease or diabetes. You know, we've got to take that on board and see what we're doing wrong and make sure that we are focusing more on our health, because, you know, you can be dead a very, very long time. And, you know, it's also about the people you leave behind and the loss and, you know, the trauma that's caused, you know, by these things. So, you know, if it can be prevented, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to be aware and prevent something that can be so destructive? So, you know, I'm the reason why I want to be an ambassador for Men's Health is to push that and make sure that we all are changing our attitudes, because really some of the reasons are a bit pathetic these days.
You and I probably both remember our kind of feeling of invincibility as young men, although I drove quite a lot slower than you did. And part of that is the traditional cultures, isn't it, in both Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very much the same, and we grow up in a society that's been formed by generations past, and we're pretty slow on and not willing to make change, right? And change shouldn't be scary. I mean, we all have to deal with it in some way, shape or form, and I know I've had to deal with it over the years, and change is not necessarily scary, or it's certainly not as much as what we think it is. So change and adapt, and the times, you know, geez, man, things are changing so fast in front of our eyes these days. It's incredible. So, you know, why not add to that the warrant of fitness for health? And I think that's a really good way of putting it. And that Men's Health Week used that extensively through the promotion of this is, you know, we're quite happy to go and get our cars serviced or checked, right, and pay for that and do the right thing. But when it comes to going and seeing your doctor, what's the stigma behind that that's stopping us? So it's really important to have a think about what's actually right and, you know, making these changes for the good of not just ourselves, but everybody else around us.
Yeah, it's a great simple comparison, that one. You've got two sons. I want to ask you a question off the back of this with type 1 diabetes. How are they doing?
Yep. Yeah, type 1 is a disease or a form of diabetes that really people don't understand. And certainly when my sons were diagnosed with it, my first one, Ronan, was diagnosed when he was 18 months old. He's now 19. Got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and we just, you know, didn't understand anything about it. We thought it was because, you know, we weren't looking after him properly, and our understanding of diabetes was, you know, someone that should be probably overweight and not looking after themselves. But type 1 is very different to that. It's an autoimmune disease, and their bodies don't produce insulin naturally. And we have to, you know, they have to manage that and distribute and administer insulin manually to maintain their blood sugar levels. So it's a very complex thing, but, you know, they've lived with it all their lives. And Ronan's brother Cormac was diagnosed when he was about 2.5. So we've got two boys that deal with that on a daily basis, but it's manageable. And, you know, they have to look after themselves. So it's just one of those things.
I was thinking of another comparison when I was thinking about Ronan and Cormac, and not as simple as your car one, but they will know all about managing their health, in their case, an autoimmune disease. But maybe if we thought of our bodies as more fragile vessels, we'd all do a lot better with health management.
Oh, 100%. I think if you, and in that respect, you're right. I mean, they're being forced into looking after themselves every day because of this. And yes, there's a negative attached, but that is a positive. And they know about performance, and they're both very fit and active in their chosen sort of sports and things. So they know they've got to do things right. And that's going to be something that obviously with them forever, knowing that they need to look after themselves. But you're right, we all need to think of our bodies like that. And, you know, it's not hard to do a lot of things well that make a difference. Yes, we still want to indulge every now and then, and that's fine. No problem with indulging in certain things that we know that aren't necessarily good for us, but it's the regularity of that causes the problem. So we're just going to change our lifestyles in some cases and just change our routines to make sure that we can have a bit of indulgence every now and then, but you know, still stay healthy and fit.
Greg Murphy is with us. So the GP twice a year, the dentist too now, actually, with what we know about inflammation.
Yeah, I think it's harder for us to accept going to the dentist. I actually cancelled my appointment last week because I wasn't going to be able to make it. But the hardest thing now will be to actually get back into the system, which I need to do. And listen, again, one of those really important things that is such a bearing on future down the line, because if you don't look after the mouth there and the teeth and all that kind of stuff and the problems that can be generated through that later on in life, I mean, you think it's all going to be fine until it's not, and then you have those regrets. And how many people have had regrets because of, you know, not doing those simple things? So, yeah, it's just we've got to. It's important to continue to have Men's Health Week to remind people, and hopefully get some changes with some men along the way to follow through. And I mean, I'm actually a big advocate and a fan of what's your score And I'm not sure if you've done that, Jim, or not, but it, you know, what's your score gives you a health check, which gives you a whole bunch of points and puts you into a category of where you actually are, and highlights the need for certain things to be done. And I'm a big fan for that to men should be doing that. And you just go into menshealth.co.nz and you can fill out what's your score.
What's your score? I'll try it.
You definitely need to.
I should mention, of course, that not everybody can afford the dentist. But anyway, thanks to you and other ambassadors, it is probably all changing. So Bathurst again.
We hope so.
Bathurst again. I have to ask you about Bathurst. I know you don't, because it is quite exciting. You're taking part again, and I know you don't entertain thoughts of winning this year. But the fans will just revel in seeing you go around again. Did they have to twist your arm a bit?
There was a lot of arm twisting, and I would, it probably the word guilt was used, so I was made to feel guilty to do it, which is a bit, might sound ridiculous to a lot of people, but you know, I had certainly removed myself from the need or desire to operate in that space a long time ago, and I'd had my fix and enjoyed my times at Bathurst, but I was quite happy with watching it from the sidelines. But anyway. A friend of mine, very close friend of mine, Peter Addison, who is a strong advocate for motorsport and a big supporter, he gave me an opportunity back in 1994, which could quite easily have be the most significant opportunity I've ever been given, because it gave me the chance to stay in Australia and go car racing. And he used that little reminder to get me to be to change my mind and be a part of a wild card at Bathurst this year. But a significant one for me was that Richie Stanaway is, I'm his co-driver. I'm gonna put it that way around. I'm his co-driver this year at Bathurst, and I'm a huge supporter and actually, I suppose, fan of Richie Stanaway's work. And he's had a pretty incredible journey and a tough journey in the last couple of years in his motorsport. And he decided that he would like to come back and have a go. And I'm pretty proud to be a part of his return to supercars in 2021.
Yeah, so you're doing it for all those good reasons. You've said before with Bathurst that you can find 95% of the speed still easily enough, but lap after lap is the hardest part in that race?
Yeah, for sure. The consistency now and the fact that the race is so fast. The guys at the front of this field are lapping and putting down laps consistently within a very, very small time window, which, you know, over the last few years has been all too close to the qualifying speed. So it's a huge commitment, and you know, driving a supercar day in, day out has massive advantages over someone who hasn't stepped in one competitively since 2014. So, you know, we've just got to go, and as Richie actually used this, be as prepared as we can possibly be. And I think that's the key to this, and I'm certainly going to put in a whole lot of effort to be as prepared as I can be to at least give ourselves the best shot at you know, doing a good job. And what will be at the end of the day. It's 1,000 Ks, everyone reminds me of that. And and some strange things have happened on the mountain, and they will continue to be strange and weird and wonderful, and that's why we love it so much.
Car 51 again?
Car 51, so resurrecting the number, which is a really cool thing. I'm pretty proud of that. I mean, it's not something I sort of saw as a significant label for a long time, but the fans certainly do align that number with me, and so that's another cool attachment to have.
Good luck at Bathurst this year, Greg, and well done on all that you're doing for men's health. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Great to talk, Jim. Cheers.
Greg Murphy.